Hello, everyone. Hi, mamas. I am so excited that you're here today. We have another special guest on the show today, Laura Munkholm. She is the president and co-founder of Walla, a powerful all-in-one fitness studio software company. And she is just an overall incredible woman. I cannot wait to dive into today's chat. She is just ambitious. She's successful. But she's also a mom of two. She's a wife. She's a somebody, right? She's gone through those turbulences, those trials of early motherhood, but also while building a business. And she had to find that balance between choosing how to build a successful business from scratch while still maintaining her identity outside of that. We talk mental health, boundaries, and the necessity that how intentional it is to be all in where you are in every given moment. She shares her story of building a business during a pandemic, homeschooling her two children, and just being open and receptive to those opportunities when pivots and hardships arise. Definitely an inspiring conversation all around. Let's dive in. Hey, mama. Welcome to the Balanced Mom Method podcast. I know you're here because you're tired of living day after day like you're drowning in the responsibilities of motherhood. You're done struggling with trying to find the time and energy to get it all done every day. And you want to show your little ones a good example, but you're so exhausted, which has your negative self-talk on repeat, your patience spread thin, and you feel like you're losing yourself a little more every day. Plus, the mom guilt, societal comparison game, and unpredictabilities of motherhood just does not help in trying to make a change. Well, sweet friend, this podcast will guide you on how to connect with yourself to break free from that survival mode cycle, all by identifying and possibly simplifying your habits. Hey, I'm Jenna, and I've been where you are. I was consumed in the struggles of motherhood, and I needed to make a change to take back control of my time, energy, identity, and life. And in finding that freedom, it became my mission to help make that connection with moms that we can give our children and families the best, and not at the expense of our own health, self, and well-being. Moms shouldn't have to choose between their families, priorities, and themselves. We can balance it all, and it all starts within ourselves. Let me take your hand and make that connection with you and equip you with simple, lifelong habits. If you are ready to say goodbye to just surviving and finally reclaim your life and motherhood, then you are in the right place. Let's get to the root of cultivating real change because it's time to feel like you again. Warm up that cold coffee, pop in your earbuds, and tighten that top knot, mama. Let's overcome together. Hey, mamas. Welcome back to the Balanced Mom Method podcast. I am so glad that you're here with us today because we have another wonderful guest on the show, Laura Munkholm. Laura is a mom of two, yoga and Pilates junkie, and is an advocate and community builder for the boutique fitness industry. She's the president and co-founder of Walla, which is a powerful all-in-one studio fitness software company, and she helps studio owners ditch the guilt, master their time, and maximize their energy so they can do more of what they love and enjoy. And that is like what we are all about here in the Balanced Mom Method community. When I read that and learned that about you, I was just like, I love it. So welcome, Laura. Tell us about yourself, your journey of becoming a co-founder of a fitness studio management software and balancing being a mom and having a family and ambitious career goals. So pass the baton.
Thank you. I'll take the baton. Really happy to be here. Thanks for having me. I am, you know, I'm definitely somebody who's always been an ambitious, achiever. And I stumbled into the yoga and fitness industry after being a college athlete. And I had a shoulder injury. I was really trying to figure out who I was again. Yoga ended up being this really beautiful home for me to find because there was still movement and strength involved in it, but it actually helped me quiet my insanely competitive mind and gave me an opportunity to, take the intensity down a notch, mm-hmm. Which is what I had just existed in for so long. So fast forward a few years of practicing yoga and then ultimately becoming a teacher, I was doing that on the side of my sales career, my corporate world job. Mm-hmm. And I loved business. You know, business was my background and I enjoyed sales. I was good at sales. And so I naturally just started helping the studios that I worked at with their sales processes and understanding how to leverage their technology to make more money. Mm-hmm. And I fell into that a bit because so many of the studios that I would teach at would just turn over owners regularly or close or go out of business. And it just seemed like this really unfortunate situation that most of the studio owners would find themselves in because they were passionate entrepreneurs who really didn't know how to run businesses. And then I was recruited by one of the studio owners that I worked for to work on a new concept that she was launching called Yoga Six, which now is the largest yoga brand in the world. And they have hundreds and hundreds of locations all over the place. And so I actually ended up running, doing the change management for an acquisition they did of the largest yoga studio in San Diego, mm-hmm. and running that studio for the first couple of years. And that was really my leap out of corporate and into studio management. And at the time I had a one-year-old. So that was, it was so funny. You know, I think entrepreneurs always, you know, there's the joke that like you leave your 40 hour a week, you ditch the 40 hours a week to work nonstop 24/7, but you control it, right? So I kind of saw this, oh my gosh, I get to leave my corporate job where I'm barely seeing my daughter. You know, I get home at 6 and I've got just a couple hours to spend with her. And I, you know, it was just this excitement around, oh my gosh, a yoga studio, I can balance it all so much better. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being completely the opposite. Like I ended up working probably 20 more hours a week than I was working in corporate, on call. Like if the alarm went off at midnight at my studio, I'd have to be the one that got up and ran over, or if a toilet was overflowing, it was me, you know, like everything ended up on my shoulders. And so ultimately, I did make that studio incredibly successful, very profitable. And studio owners from around town started reaching out to me. It kind of timed around when I had my second baby. I got pregnant like, I don't know, 6 months into running the studio.
Okay. How old was your daughter? Oh, one, you said one. Okay.
Yeah. So she was about 18 months when I got pregnant, I think.
Okay. Sure.
Or just under that. I don't know. They're a little over 2 years apart. Okay. And I think after my second was born, I realized like working 60 plus hours a week was just not sustainable for me. I found like I couldn't nurse for as long as I wanted to. Funny story on that, though, I ended up having a woman in my studio, one of my clients, who was pregnant the exact same time I was. We were due like 2 weeks apart from each other. And she was producing so much milk. And I was one day like sitting there, she could hear me pumping in the office. Mm-hmm. And I was just like so devastated because I just wasn't producing enough milk. Mm-hmm. And she ended up giving me like a freezer full of her, five freezer fulls of milk. And it let me end up continuing nursing. Like I caught up and it continue nursing my baby for another couple months. So shout out to the moms out there who are pumping at work and trying to get like all of like, I don't know. I just remember how stressful that was and how the pressure to, mm-hmm. you know, rush through it, produce something for your child, get back to work and then get home and be able to, you know, provide nutrition for your child was
so. Exactly. Yeah, shout out to all the pumping moms, nursing moms.
Yes, yes, you are not alone. And I know some of you are pumping in like, I don't know, broom closets in offices.
Now they have like the portable pumps and I'm like, oh, or the hands-free, I should say. Yeah.
I know, the technology's gotten so much better. So
it's you wild. Guys are better off. It's
wild. And I don't know if you've ever met the mom that started this company, but I would love to meet her. There's a brand called Mamava. Have you seen them in airports yet?
No.
I don't know if you've run into them.
Mm-mm, I haven't.
You'll have to check it out. There are these like basically little trailer pods that are in airports now.
And
they
saw a picture actually. Yes. I did. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, high five to her, whoever she is.
It was like a little like portal nook thing. I remember seeing a picture. I don't know why. Oh, when I had to put my daughter on my lap, we went to the Bahamas in February mm-hmm. and I couldn't, I had to call like registration or whatever and add her on. But anyway, yeah, that's where I saw it.
Yeah. And she has a really brilliant logo too. Anyway, long story short, I left the studio world and started doing one-on-one consulting. I had studio owners reaching out to me saying, you know, hey, I heard you're an expert in the software that we're all using called MindBody. We need help. We're struggling. So that was a perfect, you know, next step for me because I could start doing some consulting here and there and have more time with my child at the time. One was in school, one was at home. And yeah, that started my consulting business, which I did for the next 7 years and kind of exploded into a really big management consulting practice with hundreds of yoga and fitness studios around the world. And when I was doing that, I realized how frustrated everybody was with the existing technology. I was frustrated with it and I was an expert. I became like a certified consultant. I started an online community for people using MindBody. And ultimately, you know, we saw the industry changing so dramatically, shifting even prior to COVID. We saw a pretty big shift inching towards the virtual aspect, being able to do your fitness classes from home and in the studio. Mm-hmm. And obviously COVID kind of made us leap forward another.
Oh, sure, right.
And so my business partner, who I had worked with before, reached out to me and just said, hey, I think the time is now. Like, we really should take advantage of this. There are so many frustrated studios. He's the tech guy. He's operated and run and sold businesses before. I'm the industry person who understood the use cases the studios had, the details that needed to go into building a product. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to build Walla, and we actually we'd started working on it in very late 2019, but we actually formed the business in March of 2020, like a week before the pandemic.
Oh my gosh.
So it was wild.
I'm just like staring at you because I'm just thinking you have an 18-month-old or a 1-year-old and then an 18-month-old and a newborn. And I have so many thoughts running through my head. Like, how was your mental health? How were you? Like you mentioned, you know, your loss of identity, you're trying to figure out yourself in college. Well, then when you become a mom, it's a whole, you know, new
all over
world.
Again.
I really relate to that college kind of aspect of what you shared too, because I went through a lot of struggles with my identity and eating disorders in college. Mm. And that was like the lowest of my low. But then when I became a mom, it was like, whoa, like all those triggers resurfaced that I was struggling with once before. So talk to me a little bit about that, just those inner conflicts that you had to find that balance between mom, wife, you know, business owner, and having these goals. But tell me about like, talk to me about you and like your mental health and how kind of you worked through stuff.
Well, interestingly, I didn't mention this, but my eating disorder was a big part of finding yoga too, because I was, you know, struggling with that through college as well. And, you know, that was a part of finding an identity around health and being okay with what the healthy version of me looked like. And from a mental health perspective, I think I found a lot of that through my yoga practice. That was my place to just kind of let it all go, let my shoulders drop away from my ears. I found an outlet. And when I became a mom, that was, you know, stripped my experience of yoga felt like it was stripped away from me. My experience of movement in the way that I enjoyed it, you know, exercising, going to classes, felt like it was stripped away from me because I had children that needed me, or a child that needed me all the time. And then when I wasn't with them, I was at work. And when I wasn't doing that, I was trying to maintain a relationship with my husband and friends and like be a normal person.
Right.
I will say I err on the, I don't know. I'm definitely not a hover parent. Like I very much need my independence. I very much want my children to be independent. Mm-hmm. And the initial few months of motherhood really kind of put an exclamation point on that for me. I realized very quickly that kind of the sob stories I was hearing from a lot of my friends of like, oh, my husband doesn't do anything to help. I'm doing it all. Like, this is just so much. I don't know how to balance it. And I was just like, tell him, ask. Right. Like, why are you telling me? Like, sit down and have the conversation. And so when my daughter was 3 months old, actually, right before I went back to work, I basically told my husband I needed a break. Like I left and went to back to visit my college girlfriends from my volleyball team. Mm-hmm. And I took, I think, 3 or 4 days away and pumped the whole time. And I was like, you know what? We did this together. Like, yes, I know that she needs me for milk right now, but she also needs you and you can do it. And he was like, great, I got it. Go. Like, your mental health right now is much more important. And I think establishing that relationship with my husband and our confidence in allowing each other to, you know, handle whatever the child's needs were, and also other people. We very early on decided that we were going to hire a nanny and be okay with other people watching our baby. Mm-hmm. And to me, when I think about balance and when I think about the way we've survived as two very hardworking parents through day one, is that A, we rely on help. You know, like, we definitely ask for help when we need it, and we support other people when they ask us for help. And we want our children to be independent and learn how to do things. And I don't need to pick out their clothes. I don't need to tie their shoes. They can learn. I don't need to be the one. They can have a checklist in the morning and be responsible for it. And I don't have to be the one constantly nagging them to, you know, make sure they remembered their lunch. So, and I think, I don't know. Yes, we'll like go bring it to them at school sometimes if they forget. But for the most part, we had them learn consequences too for that. Like, if you forget something, if you forgot your homework, you forgot your homework. Like, I'm not going to stop in the middle of the day and bring it to you. And I would say alignment with my partner early on how we were going to parent together has helped my mother load, like the load on me tremendously. And has allowed me to be an ambitious, you know, achiever still as a mom.
I really love that communication piece, because I just texted my husband this sarcastically the other day, but I'm like, I'm not a mind reader, right? Yeah. Because we both, like, it's funny because our triggers and like the things that we struggle with communication, they're kind of the same. So like, we learned that very early on in our relationship, but now it's like, we're getting to that point of like, okay, we have to be open. We have to be honest and have that open line of communication. And we can't read each other's minds. And that goes with, you know, with everything too. Like, you have to just be open and ask for help and say how you feel too. Like, if you're struggling, and that's me, badge of honor. Like, if I'm struggling, I keep it quiet sometimes. I'm working on it. Yeah. But until you reach that threshold, and then I snap, or, you know, and then I just lose my patience or whatever that might be. So just kind of pausing and like having that open conversation, let it be with yourself or with your spouse or whoever, you know, needs to have that conversation with, or you need to have that conversation with. Sure. Mm-hmm.
And one thing I will say that has been kind of my, I don't know, anchor in my career growth and as my kids have grown. I had a business mentor, kind of coach, at one point early on when I was starting my consulting practice. And she was actually my initial yoga teacher, like, that I did my training with. Mm-hmm. And she had me as the first exercise that we did when we started working together. She had me spend a week just recognizing little things, moments, experiences that brought me joy or gave me ease, mm-hmm. and document it. And she said, this is going to become your well-being checklist. So I have this list to this day that was, I don't know, 10 years ago. I have this list in my phone that is, yes, it has luxurious things like getting a massage or getting a, you know, mm-hmm. a facial or going away with my husband. But the majority of the list is, you know, having a dance party in the kitchen with my kids or taking a walk outside. Sitting outside with sunshine on my shoulders, just really, really basic little things, listening to music, writing. I love writing. And so when I'm having those overwhelm, those struggle, the days where I feel like I'm super short with my kids or I have no patience for anybody around me, I try to reflect back on that or go back to that and find, even if I have 5 minutes, something small, like a walk with my dog for 5 minutes, that I know is going to settle me back down into a place where I can make better decisions, respond rather than react, And I'm not perfect, for sure. I definitely don't always do it, but at least I have some sort of an anchor that I can lean on where when I'm really feeling those struggle moments.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that so much, because I was just talking with like a business accountability partner this morning, and we share our goals every day and or for the week and things. And we were checking in, and it was more so of like, we got onto this conversation tangent, right? How we are right now. But we got on this tangent about like, sometimes like our expectations of where we think we should be, like we're failing to see like the growth that we're still having, right? Like what you just said, like, I'm not perfect. No one's perfect. Right. Mm-hmm. But you have that practice in place, and I'm sure it has been like exponentially helpful and life changing, right? Yeah. To be able to focus on that good, have that gratitude. Mm-hmm. I had an episode, I can't think of the what episode number, but I call it the choose again method. And it's kind of like the same concept of like, if you're struggling, like, what is that next best thought? What's that next best feeling that you can feel right now? It's not gonna be perfect, right? It's not gonna get you out of that struggle or that hardship, but it's gonna bring you ground you again, and kind of what you're talking about, bring that peace and joy and calm back over you. I love it.
Yeah, I think grounding is the perfect word, because it's, I mean, we live in a world where there are such intense expectations of us all the time. And there is so much coming at us from an information perspective, from a consumerism perspective, you know, digesting that information and actually understanding how it impacts you, what you need to do, how it should change your decisions. It all is swimming in your head all the time. And it's really easy to just get into this. I don't know about you, but like sometimes when I'm just feeling that, like, oh my God, I'll pick up my phone and then start scrolling through Instagram. And I'm like, no, that's the worst thing I can do. And I'll say it out loud to myself, like, don't do that right now.
Right. It just, makes that guilt or that feeling. It just like amplifies it a little bit.
Exactly.
You know?
And so that my thing I do, and I encourage any of you that like this idea of a well-being checklist, is when I catch myself jumping to social media for like that, oh, I just need to get away from everything else that's happening right here in front of me. I then close social media, open my notes, and look at my well-being checklist and see if there's something that I could accomplish right there. You know, like, is there a chance to just step outside, take a deep breath with some sunshine on my shoulders, and close my eyes so I'm not seeing a screen or I'm not being visually like attacked by a million things.
That an end, you know, end recording right now. Like that was, I love that. Like that's such a good, and it's simple, right? It's in the simple daily things that we could either break a habit or implement a new habit, but we have to acknowledge it first, right? You have to get to that acknowledge piece. So thank you for sharing that. I love it. Talk to me a little bit too. I'm like still like putting this together, building such a successful business, being a mom of two little ones. How did you put boundaries into place? You kind of talked about it with your spouse, and just having that communication, but how did you recognize in that sense of, you know, work time? Did you work at home? Were your kids home with you? Like, how did you put those boundaries into place?
Yeah. So when we started the company, my kids were, I think, 6 and 8. So a little bit older. They weren't, you know, they were much more self-sufficient. 6 and 8 or 7 and 9. I can't remember.
I was going to ask when you said like something about when they were, I forget the checklist. I was like, if I do that with my son right now, I was going to ask how old your kids were at this point.
they're 9 and 11. So yeah, I guess they were 6 and 8.
Okay.
And it was right when COVID started. So I was, you know, they were homeschooling and it was insanity. From a boundaries perspective, I think that window of time, there were none and it didn't exist. And it was just sheer chaos all the time, like running back and forth between rooms and trying to get them to focus, especially my, I think he had wasn't even 6 yet. He was about to turn 6. Mm-hmm. Kindergartners, first graders during COVID, it was just like absolutely insane.
I couldn't imagine my son starting kindergarten for the first time going to school. And yeah, just that inconsistency. So again, bless the homeschoolers, you know, like it's, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, that actually was an incredible lesson, and this is not the sustainable for us. And we immediately said, we have to find a different solution. And I think I think back on this time and it's amazing how when my husband and I put the like verbiage out there, the intention out there of we have to find a different solution and we're open to what it is. Like we do not have a perfect picture of how to solve this problem, but we like either one of us is going to have to quit our job because this isn't going to work and we don't want that to be the solution. Mm-hmm. So when we really started talking about it and like, okay, let's research, one of our good friends who lives in Maui happened to call us and was like, hey, I just heard that the schools are going to be open this year here. You guys should come move into our guest house apartment and hang out in Maui for a while with us and let your kids go to school here. And we were like, haha, whatever. And then like that night we were like in bed and both of us were like, why not? Why this is it? So, like, yeah. God just gifted us this amazing yes. And as soon as we said yes to that, it was like the next year of our life. Every next stone just laid itself in front of us. Like our kids had been in Montessori school and the less than 10 minutes from our house was a beautiful Montessori school that they both got into within a week and they were able to start. And I don't know, like our neighbors across the street ended up needing a place to live because their house sold too quickly and they hadn't gotten another house. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I think from a boundaries perspective, when you say and really make a decision like this doesn't work, I have to find another way, or you collectively as a partnership with your partner or whoever is your support system collectively say this doesn't work, then it's one of those, okay, great, let's be open. Let's not try and control, mm-hmm. but let's be open to what appears for us. And yes, there's some work that has to be done to find that. But I think it's important to recognize what doesn't work and then you can set boundaries around it.
Exactly. And I love that's, I mean, it just, it all correlates too with it starting within, right? Starting within, you were already talking about external societal pressures and expectations. And we get so hung up on that noise, all the background noise, all the white noise, the busy, the hustle, your schedule, right? All these things. When if you take that time to slow down, let it be intentional, recognizing like what you're saying, if you come to this, you know, fork in the road, whatever that might be, we have to take it that step back and slow down a little bit, mm-hmm. recognize, acknowledge, and listen, right? Listen for that message, you know, that because yeah. you guys could have been so, you know, strung out or, you know, whatever with just like the chaos of what's going on with COVID that you could have just kept it brushed it off. And that was like the knock on the door, like, you know,
exactly. There's so much noise. We often don't hear those knocks on the doors or those opportunities that are literally standing right in front of us.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, starting this business with a startup tech company is, I thought I knew what hard work was until I did this. It was intense. So I often think there's no way I could have done this when my kids were a lot younger, unless I was a very different person. I don't know. I couldn't have done it. But you know, what I've learned through the process of working intense hours and just go are two really important things. One is I maximize my time more than I ever thought was possible. Like it's not always good. I forget to eat sometimes. Like that's one of my, I have to remember. But I make the most of the time where my kids are at school and or when we have childcare. And I keep sacred like the 6 p.m. to 8:30 hours because those are my, you know, time with my family. Mm-hmm. But I also, one of the things I was going to mention, I'm in a hotel room right now. I'm at a conference and it's 20 minutes from my house. It's down the street. I very easily could have stayed home and gone back and forth. But what I've realized through this process of starting this company in particular was if I'm not 100% all in on what I'm doing at work, or if I'm not at least trying to be 100% all in at home, nobody's happy. Like I'm not happy. The kids get frustrated. My staff gets frustrated. So I will sometimes just remove myself from the home situation when I've got early mornings, late nights, rather than, you know, be just a little bit there and have my kids be annoyed with me not paying attention to them, I'm staying down here because it really helps me focus all in on work. And then when I get home on Friday, I'm turning off my computer as soon as they get home from school, and I'm going to be all in with my kids and, you know, go to their soccer practice. And it's taken a lot of mistakes and trying to be like, you know, one hand in each, at soccer, on my laptop, trying to close a deal, just, you know, frustration all around. So that's my attempt, at least, is to try and be all in where I am in that moment.
Where you are, it's the presence piece. And like, that's power, that intention of being all in what you're doing at this time now. Like, kudos to you, you know, for going away at, you know, to your convention and taking that time. Because if you try to do it at home, like what you were saying, like, no one's going to get all of you, including yourself, and you're going to be flustered. And just to kind of paint a picture for like a stay at home or work up from home mom, with me, I don't have my phone by me when the kids are awake for that same reason. The dings, the notifications, if I get pulled into my phone and if I don't answer it, I'll go back to it later. Well, that just adds more clutter in my head too, you know, and then I got to write it down and I have to respond to this email that I opened and I shouldn't have because my kids were home, or, you know, I wanted to be present with them. So it's that intentionality piece of being all in where you're at, whatever that might be. So kudos.
Well, it's hard to break habits too. Like that's one thing I've realized is really challenging, because it's just picking up your phone is a habit, right? Like, notice how often every day you just reach for your phone. Exactly. That's something I sometimes am like, why did I just, I don't need my phone, right? Why did I just pick up my phone?
Yeah. And it goes back to the acknowledgement, that identifying piece of, wow, like, why did I just do that? And then start, you know, I'm thinking of the formula within what I coach my moms with identify, audit, like, what are you actually doing? And then simplify, implement, like figuring out that new plan. But so tell me just about Walla, wrapping up here. Tell me about your business and kind of where we could find you. And
sure.
I'm intrigued.
Well, hopefully some of you guys will be checking into classes at fitness studios, if you haven't already, soon on Walla. We're the booking, billing, client management, staff management platform behind yoga, Pilates, bar, cycling, HIIT, boot camp studios. And, you know, interestingly, 70% of the business owners in this industry in boutique fitness are women, and the vast majority are moms. So it's a really amazing group of people who are just incredibly passionate and relentless in their pursuit of wellness for their communities. And that was honestly why I started this business, was I wanted to make sure that group was supported. Mm-hmm. So our website is Hello Walla, Walla. And if you happen to go to a fitness studio, if you are a fitness studio owner and you haven't heard about us yet, please check us out. We, you know, our first year in business was all about making sure our clients loved us. And I am so proud to say they do. And that was the goal. And now it's, you know, growth time. And we've got, there's a massive boutique fitness industry, and it's only growing now that more people have had a chance to kind of dip their toe into classes online and can feel more confident walking into a studio. So my hope is that you guys book a class on Walla really soon.
Wonderful. I will post everything in the show notes. Walla on Instagram is at Walla Software, correct?
Yep, at Walla Software, and Facebook is Walla Software as well.
Perfect. And where can someone find you? Do you have an Instagram, LinkedIn?
Yeah, LinkedIn, I'm there, Laura Monkholm. I do have Instagram, and this is one of my boundaries that I keep my personal Instagram private.
Bless.
So
it's,
yeah, it's something that I had to make a decision about early on with the company, but you know, I friend me or try and maybe we'll get to know each other. But I honestly didn't want to stop posting about my kids for my parents and my, you know, my close friends. And so it was one of those things where I was like, well, I think when my kids are old enough, I'll ask them if they care. And then if they don't, then I'll open it up. So
Wonderful. I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today, Laura. It has been a pleasure just to meet you and just hear the ambition. Like I just, it's powerful. I thank you.
Yeah, it's so great to meet you. And for everybody listening, you know, high fives all around. You guys are amazing ambitious, smart women that deserve a lot. And it's an overwhelming world to be in right now, doing all the things, wanting to be a devoted mom and an ambitious, you know, achiever. And so give yourself some credit and look down the mountain from time to time, because you've done a lot.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Thank you so much for being with us today. I can't wait to listen back to this episode. And to my mamas, again, everything that we discussed, it will be linked in the show notes below. Until next week, thank you so much. As always, simply be you. You have everything inside of you to reach your breakthrough. We're sending our love and light.
Did you find this episode very well worth farming? Please leave mama a review.
Thank you so much for spending this time with me on the Balanced Mom Method podcast. I pray this episode has grown and helped you in some way. If it has, I'd be so grateful if you left a review sharing how it's impacted you. It truly lights me up hearing you're on your way to your breakthrough. And then, please share this episode with another mom who may be struggling to remind her we are never alone. And remember, there isn't ever a one-size-fits-all to overcoming our personal hardships, but there are a lot of parallels with how we show up to our lives and common habits we can make our own to live an intentional life full of peace, presence, confidence, clarity, and balance. Be sure to check the show notes for additional ways to connect with me, our mom community, and resources and courses for you to overcome your survival mode cycle once and for all with doable habits. Thank you. I appreciate all you are and all you do. Sending my love and light.